Oh, hello.
Hello.
Was there a strange noise?
The doorbell just rang and Pam's gone bananas.
Oh, that's
a moment of...
Do you need to deal with that?
Pam's doing it herself.
She's...
Yeah.
She's communicating with the Amazon delivery person, is she?
She, through the medium of eating them.
Yeah. They get the message, don't they?
From the back through to the front, is how she does it. Yeah.
It's nice to do it. Well, as they're retreating, as they're leaving.
Yeah. They can never retreat. There's never time.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
We can now hear all sorts of...
There's incredible...
Oh, really?
Extraordinary scenes happening. It sounds like some sort of long-lost... Is there a long-lost brother or someone that could have reappeared from...
It could be. It sounds like the sort of thing I should pull upstairs at some point and check in on, but I'll let them get all settled first and get the bowls of crisps out and all that kind of stuff.
It sounded like the noise you'd make if someone lost at sea had returned.
Yes. Yeah.
Like after about a good sort of decade gap. It was quite...
Yeah, who you don't recognise initially.
Yeah. Then you realise it's that person you tried to kill. Is that accountant of yours that you thought you'd murdered?
I'm trying to think who the last person I pushed off across Channel Ferry was.
Yeah. Got to keep a note, Mike.
I think it was that accountant. Oh, golly.
I went to see Hamilton last night.
Did
really?
You?
Really?
For the first time?
Yeah, for the first time. Have either of you seen it?
I have seen it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was happy to get on the bandwagon big time.
Yeah. It was on tour. It's been in Cardiff for about a month. I think it's now moving on to Bradford. But I really enjoyed it. I was reminded of it because you were talking about, there's a bit where he's like doing love letters, like long distance to someone. Yeah. You just think, what a pain in the ass that would have been.
Oh, to the one who goes to England.
Yeah, his wife's sister, who he basically sort of fancies.
It's much harder to do the sexting equivalent, isn't it? Because there's such a long gap. It seems like, I am removing my britches.
You've got to get to business. You can't tease.
Yeah.
Because then it's 2 weeks later, it's like, I am now removing my pantaloons.
No. And then my second pantaloons.
No, you've got to go straight to a crayon rubbing of your ass.
And say, yeah. Of course.
Have you seen it, Henry?
I've not seen it, no.
I think you'd enjoy it.
I'm keen to. Is it still on in London or is it on tour? Is it both?
I think it's both. I think it's also still.
I think it's just on forever now. It's one of those, yeah.
Because there was a long period where the whole thing was you can't get a ticket. You cannot get a ticket.
Yeah.
Which to you is catnip, isn't it?
Absolute catnip.
To the Londoner.
But I scratched every back I know in this blooming town. I still couldn't get myself one. So I sort of gave up on it.
Yeah.
Do you remember, Mike, there's one bit in it that I found a bit weird, which is, Henry, basically the story, it's Lewis Hamilton, the Formula One driver.
That's right, yeah.
No, it's the story of Alexander Hamilton, who I didn't really know anything about. He was like a founding father.
Yeah.
And there's a sort of love storyline. He meets his wife and blah, 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 blah. And then he has all these affairs, basically, I think, and he has this big affair and he cheats on his wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's kind of his downfall because somebody, the husband of the person he cheated with, blackmails him, basically.
Okay.
And it all comes out and it becomes a big public scandal. And there's a song, I found it so funny, Mike, halfway through, there's a sad, very earnest, sad song about how he can't help himself and just loves shagging. Do you remember this bit?
I do remember, yeah.
And it feels so weirdly misjudged. And you're meant to feel sorry for him, I think, because he's like, oh, I just can't help it.
Keep it in your blimmin' pantaloons, mate.
I think it's literally called I Can't Help It or something.
I can't help getting my pantaloons off.
Because he's away, his family is away, he's working all the hours God sends for America.
Oh, is it the one which is, because my pantaloons are like curtains, they open and close as easily as curtains. Is that one?
That's exactly the one.
And it's ironic because, of course, and then at the end the theatre curtains close.
But his pantaloons are open.
And then his little John Thompson pokes out between.
There's a little flame retardant John Thompson poking through.
out between, and it's
a safety todger. It's a safety todger because on the West End, I don't know how they do it in Broadway. On the West End, it has to be a safety todger.
It has to be a safety todger.
Fire regs.
Yeah.
Can I just take us back to John Thompson?
Oh, yeah.
Certainly.
Isn't it historically John Thomas? John Thompson's the guy from The Far Show.
I stand corrected. Fair dues. I think you can kind of say you're John Simpson, you're John Steinbeck. I think once you said John, you can just sort of mix it up.
I think you could say you're Peregrine Buckley, and people would understand what you're talking about.
People would know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you were talking about. Well, I'm glad you picked up on that, Mike, because it felt like a weird bum note in what was quite a great thing. And suddenly there's a whole bit where you're meant to feel sad because he can't keep it in his trousers. It's really weird.
Yeah, I don't know if you. I don't know. Yeah, if you're meant to feel sad, you're definitely not supposed to hate him, are you? You're not supposed to take the moral high ground.
No. That's the thing.
You're supposed to go, oh, come on, come on. It's like New York City. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
So is he just talking about how you know? But ladies are just so delightful. Whatever. He can't.
Basically, yeah.
He tries to do the right thing, but they're just too delightful.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. It's 18th century New York City. And he's,
I suppose.
What's a patriot to do?
Yeah.
Also, and this is a big spoiler, although not really because it's based on real events. The main thing I took away from it, Mike, is how stupid duels are.
How stupid what?
Duels.
Oh, duels.
Don't do a spoiler.
It's a spoiler of like you really want almost 300-year-old history, though, isn't it?
I know, but my ignorance insulates me from a lot of things like that.
Yes, they do mention stuff at the beginning about.
No, go on, give me a spot. I'm guessing his Jolly Roger gets blown off, does it?
and he has it replaced with a mini musket. That's right.
It's the first android.
All these people are really clever. Basically, that's kind of what they're spending the whole time going. These people are really clever. They're so clever. They're making up a new constitution, and they're so clever that they outwitted the British army, and they're so clever, you know, they're really bigging up these guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they were clever, but then they get into a bit of a spat because they don't like each other, and it's like, okay, let's do a duel. It's like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
It is a really, it's a pretty cloth-eared way of solving a problem, isn't it?
It is.
Also, they do have the thing which I've not come across before, the idea that you can have a duel and just fire it in the air at the last minute.
Yes.
That, which is, you know.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, the whole thing becomes
which is very funny,
absurd.
But then you look at the story from the pigeon's point of view, and that's like three, isn't it? there was a bit of vagueness, wasn't it? By the way, Jules is a classic one of those things where the last one was in 1998.
Yes. There was one in France in the 80s, wasn't there?
Yeah. Actually, it is, isn't it? There was ridiculously recently in France.
When I went to Paris last year on holiday, I went to an exhibition in a museum about the history of dueling.
Oh, yeah.
Sword dueling, and they had a video of one, so you can watch videos of them. That's how like contemporary they are. But in France, you're not meant to kill them. It says first blood.
If you give them a poke,
yeah,
yeah.
Whereas and in, does that in mean America, you? It just seems like they were just shooting.
But that means you win whatever it is that you're arguing about, whatever, and it's kind of dealt with.
You were right. Yes,
that means you were right.
Yeah. Would you go for swords? Would you go for swords or pistols, given the choice?
You know what I'd go for?
Yeah.
I'd try and make sure the wording was a bit vague. Something like, arm triggered ordnance device, please. Thank you. And then on the day, he turns around and he gets the whole sort of square mile around him gets completely destroyed by a bazooka, and not even fired by a mate of mine.
And you got your feet up in Lanzarote.
Well, actually, now I come to think of it, I'm probably within a square mile of him, aren't I? So I'm actually... My feet probably are in Lanzarote, but not the rest of me. It's a tricky one, that, isn't it? I'm trying to think of... if you could somehow persuade the other person without realising it to wear quite a large metal funnel over their face to help...
Try and introduce it as a fashion.
Try and introduce it as a fashion.
In the preceding week,
yeah,
before the appointed time.
Yeah, but then say you've left your one at home. Anything that will just help. Because there must have been a lot of just both missing each other altogether. I suppose it's like honour. It's about honour, isn't it? Saving your honour and stuff to do with honour.
Yeah. I just don't get it.
Then there's the whole culture of the second, right, as well, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, what's that? Is that the person who'll represent you? Can get someone to represent you?
Well, they represent you to make the arrangements, and they will check the weapons and all that kind of thing. But I think it's also a bit like the best man in a wedding, where if there's some sort of issue, like, I'm really sorry, Philip's got the squits today. So
can you marry my wife instead? That's not what happens.
He's not going to be able to make it.
Can you DJ the reception?
Exactly. Can you DJ the reception? Can you just face this pistol for me instead? Cheers.
Oh, I see. That's a bum job, isn't it?
That is a really bum job.
Yeah. That's my understanding. I may be wrong. I've been wrong before.
It would be remiss of me to not point out that I saw a musical last night.
Did you?
I did.
We were both watching a musical last night.
We were both watching a musical.
Okay.
The musical I was watching was Oliver!
Really?
Exclamation mark. Yeah.
Not in the theatre?
In the theatre. It was a niece's birthday sort of do thing.
Oh, nice.
So there's a production of Oliver on in Shaftesbury Avenue at the moment. I mean, it may have been there forever, or it might be new,
How
I don't
was
know.
It?
It was terrific, yeah. It was absolutely terrific. There was huge amounts of, like, carousing stuff, you know, people swinging tankards and
slapping. Merry Cockneys.
Cockneys. Spinning each other around and loads of, like, that sort of thing. And just slapping of thighs and whacking of piano keys and people just going, and clanking stuff in a merry way. Lots of merriment. I think people aren't merry anymore, are they? I think merry. You know, like, no one's merry in the 21st century.
Well, they might be in when we're represented in 200 years' time in musical theatre.
Yeah, that's true. There's probably, they've added on some merriness, haven't they?
They'll put podcasters being merry all the live long day.
Or imagine the set. It's the set of what they imagined a pret-a-manger looked like.
Right.
With people merrily slapping their thighs and eating chicken sandwiches and stuff.
And posh cheddar.
Yeah.
No, it was really good. There was some really good, there was some great, actually just really, really good singing. They were really good singers. They were really good actors. It was very funny. It's got some real bangers of songs.
Consider Yourself.
Food Glorious Food.
Starts with Food Glorious Food, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
It's really good. Oh, there was one song that I found quite funny, though, which was, there was one sort of section where you could clear the, they weren't quite sure what to do with it when, I don't know who wrote this show or when, but.
Lionel Bart?
Is it?
I think so. Is it Lionel Bart?
Maybe Lionel Bart.
I have no idea at all.
There's just one quite funny sort of period vending scene where Oliver, it's a sort of weird moment where suddenly a lone woman comes onto the stage and starts going, "Who will buy my sweet red roses? Two blooms for a penny. Who will buy my sweet red roses? Two blooms for a penny." And then another woman comes on and goes, "Who will buy my milk today? Any milk? Do people want milk today, please?" And then someone else comes on and goes, "Strawberries ripe. Strawberries ripe. Who will buy my strawberries ripe?" And then they all start singing over each other, "Blooms today, strawberries ripe.
Oh, it's a taste for one of home onions, for you, isn't it? That's just you strolling through your street." Yeah. With the onion mongers and the strawberry.
The onion mongers and the. Yeah,
oh, just, lovely.
I just really enjoyed it. Yeah. It's not one of the songs that people remember.
No.
But, enjoyed it. Yeah. It was really good. There was some great London sort of. There's some great London skyline stuff.
How did they do the dog?
Projected onto the back. The dog was a sort of silhouette. It was Teatro de Silhueto. Yeah, because...
Of the Milan tradition.
Of the Milan tradition. Yeah, it was definitely Milan-influenced. Yeah, because it's quite tricky, isn't it? That's a good question. So, Mike, you're obviously conversant with the musical and the story in general, are you?
I'm conversant with the story. I think the only musical version I've seen is Movie Time. I don't think I've ever seen a musical of it on the stage.
Is that the David Lean?
Yes, David Lean. David Lean. David Lean, delicious.
Don't mind if I do. The dog is done through Teatro de Silhueto. So a silhouette of a dog just passes across the stage and there's a growling sound, quite effective. Better than, so I would have got like just a guy dressed as a dog. I've sort of gone Don Jolly with it, probably. But actually, sometimes what you don't see makes you think more about what is you could see in a good way. That's part of the Milan tradition, isn't it?
That's Teatro de Silhueto.
That's Teatro de Silhueto, isn't it? Sometimes what you can't see makes you think more about what you could see.
I've never seen or read any Oliver version, including the book. What do they do to the dog?
You know what?
Eat it?
No, the dog is the he's quite, I remember him being quite prominent because he's the his master is what's he called?
Bill Sykes is Groudon.
He's Bill Sykes.
He's Bill Sykes. So Bill Sykes is a horrible guy.
So he adds menace. Horrible. He's like a witch's familiar, basically.
Yeah, and he's got this horrible dog. It's very menacing. Now, I'm going to say this. I reckon Charles Dickens is, and his estate, the memory of Charles Dickens and his estate, can deal with this. I'm going to say the story of Oliver Twist has some structural difficulties, I think.
Okay.
I mean, I'm punching up here.
Are you trying to challenge Charles Dickens to a duel?
I want to do that. Or someone from his estate.
And Mike, you are Henry II.
Yeah, and also I'm really busy during, duel the time, during the time that I've yet to select when I'm doing it. But there's a good chance I'll be busy just because...
Basically Mike is getting shot by Philip Dickens.
You're getting shot by Philip Dickens.
But it will have to be with an air rifle because we've got, you know, obey laws and, you know, we can't, you know, can't get proper.
No, I think they still use Dickensian law. They have immunity, don't they, from time?
Yeah. Yeah.
They have immunity from time.
Okay.
They're an atop.
So
they'll be old-fashioned
ball and powder.
Yeah, it'll be ball and powder.
A flintlock pistol.
Yeah. Certainly for Philip's gun. But basically it's quite weird because basically it's called Oliver Twist. Oliver Twist is born at the beginning. He goes through some problems. He then gets... He's born in a workhouse and stuff, but he then sort of gets chucked out of the workhouse. I think it's for asking for some more, famously, and then he then sort of falls in with Fagin and his pickpocket people. But then there's just the main
recruited by the Artful Dodger.
That's correct. But so the main middle chunk, the biggest chunk of the story, is just this kind of weird kind of soap opera and thing between Fagin, the Artful Dodger, Bill Sykes, and
Nancy.
And it turns into a kind of really violent EastEnders. And then at the end, Oliver Twist gets rescued by a kindly old man who recognises him as an aristocrat.
Yeah. That's a classic Dickens move, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a classic
Dickens move. Oh, it turns out you're really rich.
Yeah, yeah, it turns out you're actually really rich. Yeah.
He wasn't, he wasn't above a deus ex machina.
No, absolutely. But also what it means is that the story is a bit kind of like, well, it's not going to do with Oliver Twist, really. It should be called, like...
Poor Old Nancy.
Poor Old Nancy.
Inspired by a news story about someone who, a woman whose fate was not dissimilar to Nancy's.
Yeah. And also, of course, the other thing that's just, it's just that thing that, it's about the fact that Oliver has true blue blood and he's recognisably better than the other people in the workhouse and then he's rescued from it because he's got no business being there.
They're absolutely in the right place. Please work them to death. And don't worry about feeding them. But this guy, let's rescue him. Let's get him a position as a proctor.
Yeah, yeah. And it's sort of like anyone can make something of their lives as long as they come from a very, very, very long line of ancestral wealth.
That has just been sitting there.
Yeah.
Could have been used to get the poorhouse children through school. And now it's just been sitting there waiting for one golden-haired boy.
Do you get a sense of what Oliver does then as a man when he grows up with all the money and things?
Whether he becomes a major philanthropist.
Yeah, like does he start London Zoo? Or does he just open a mill?
I think the implication is that he tries to open the East End's first sort of leisure centre, really.
Yeah. He basically has the idea for Virgin Active, doesn't he?
Yeah.
In the closing song.
He invents badminton. I'm looking up Lionel Bart to see what else he wrote. And he wrote sort of various things, including the song Living Doll for Cliff Richard.
Really?
Oh, wow.
But... musicals wise, he writes Oliver, which is like
massive,
meant to be massive and massive. Great. I'm sure it's brilliant.
Great songs.
These are his other musicals, right? Blitz!
Exclamation mark!
Yes.
God, that's his thing, isn't it? Oliver's exclamation mark.
Yeah. So Blitz! Exclamation mark was set in East London during the Blitz. Never heard of that.
So again, it's Cockney, it's carousing, it is slapping of knees, but also getting getting your head blown off occasionally.
Despite bad circumstances, we're having
the spirit
ruddy
remains.
Old bit of merriment we are.
Yeah.
Next up, Maggie May.
No, don't know.
What is Maggie May?
Well, it says here it's a traditional ballad about a Liverpool sex worker. It deals with trade union ethics and dockers.
Didn't Rod Stewart do a famous one?
Yeah, he did a song called Maggie May. I don't know if it's the same. Okay. Then the next one he did is called Twang! Exclamation mark! Yep. Exclamation mark!
Is that a sequel to Twang with one exclamation mark? Or is it just
no? It comes straight.
So he thought the problem with Blitz was not enough exclamation marks.
It wasn't showing his development as an artist.
Yeah.
And guess what Twang is about? It's quite a good name. Classic Ooh. British story.
Thornby.
No. Good idea though.
Twang. Hmm. Well, a twang is it can be your voice, kind of like a Cockney twang.
Yeah, not like that.
Twang can
what,
be.
What figure from British mythological history, I guess you'd say mythological or legend, might have had a twang sound associated with him?
Merlin?
A twang sound. Twang. an Arthurian twang.
Henry's closest so far.
Robin Hood.
Robin Hood.
Oh, twang.
Of course, and his bow, the twang of his bow. Yes.
And I'm assuming that's got an exclamation mark. It must do.
Two exclamation
two.
Marks.
That's so that's two. One with two. Yeah. Twang.
I've not heard of any of these. Then he did La Strada.
He invented the restaurant Strada.
Which was based on a musical, of course.
Of course, and that's why it's Strada with an exclamation mark.
And then his final...
Was twang funny? Twang sounds like it should be funny. Sounds like it should be like a Men in Tights type.
It's got to be.
Yes, the original cast had Barbara Windsor in it.
Oh, yes.
Twang.
How is that not a massive hit? Come on, guys.
It sounds like it was... Okay, the piece, which is a spoof of the character of Robin Hood, was a disastrous box office failure and cost Bart his fortune.
Oh Bart. Don't put your own dosh into it. Everyone knows that. That's rule number one of musicals.
Yeah.
Oh, Bart.
But you know, of course, musicals are famously incredibly hard to get right and to be successful.
Yeah.
Mm.
So obviously, you know, I think having one mega hit to your name is pretty good.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to denigrate Mr. Bart. I'm just saying it's interesting that there's one we've all heard of and then a number of ones we haven't. But I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying, as you say, it's like so hard to get one to work and to be popular.
Yeah.
But I think in 2025, we should remount Twang.
Let's get the beans on the road with Twang. Three-man Twang.
Three-man Twang. Three-man Twang.
I'll be in the Barbara Windsor.
You'll be the Babs Windsor. You're the obvious choice for Babs Windsor, of course. Yeah.
Three-man Twang. Three-man Twang. Three-man Twang.
We'll pour all of our financial resources and assets into it.
Everything.
So Ronnie sell Corbett, the i10s.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the podcast on my phone from now on. The laptop's getting sold.
Ronnie Corbett was in it. So, Mike, you'll be in the Ronnie Corbett role.
Yeah, done. I'm in.
And Henry, you'll be playing Little John, as originally played by Bernard Breslau.
And will we use a mixture of sort of creative stuff like Theatre de Silhouette
for
it's going to be largely silhouette.
It's going to be hugely Silhouette. And can you make a Silhouette
thing? We'll use a mixture of Theatre de Silhouette and Theatre of a series of different hats.
Yes, you can do so much with hats.
Yeah.
It was the most expensive flop in West End history up to that time.
What year was that done?
65.
You know that one of the other famous West musical flops was the Spider-Man musical.
Oh, yeah.
There's a book about that, isn't there?
The U2 thing.
Oh, was it U2?
Yeah, U2 did the music.
I think it was U2.
Or was it just The Edge?
Oh,
can't remember.
Uh-oh. But, because also you can think to yourself, this can't fail. Spider-Man, it's one of the hottest IP products in the world.
Yeah.
Spider-Man. Everyone fucking loves Spider-Man.
And kids love Spider-Man. You too.
It has to, but you can't, you just can't.
The excitement, whoever it was that had came up with that combination.
Yeah.
Excitement as they were racing through the streets of Manhattan to get to to see the execs,
and maybe just
see the suits.
A tiny voice in the back of their head going, it might be quite hard to, because Spider-Man is,
it might be hard to pull off.
It might be quite hard to pull off.
It's possible it'll be complete bollocks as well. But even if it is a good idea, that there's never any guarantees with musicals. But you keep going.
It's actually famously quite hard, isn't it?
It's notoriously hard.
It might be quite hard to emulate an entire massive skyscraper inside a theatre. Actually, you'll need loads of skyscrapers. Guy who's he's got sort of spider powers that come out of his hand. I think I haven't really actually haven't seen.
There might be a reason why they normally do it in sort of graphic novels and movies and stuff rather than musicals.
Yeah,
thinking about it now. Yeah,
but whatever.
It tends not to be Spider-Man stories that are just set in a drawing room.
There's not that many of them, are there? Unless the Spider-Man becomes like Chekhov's gun, so Spider-Man himself is mounted on the wall of a drawing room. He's in the second act. And Spider-Man himself only turns up in the fourth act properly. But either way, the final scene where Spider-Man births 2,000 other Spider-Men is going to change the face of Broadway. Oh, God.
Right.
Fair play for trying, though, eh?
Fair play for trying.
That was Musicals Chat. So, welcome to Bonjo's House of Pain.
This is very exciting. He's got the sweats.
Da-dum, da-dum,
da-dum. I've created a theme tune for Bonjo's House of Pain.
Brilliant.
Would you like to hear it?
Oh, yes, please.
Love to.
It's slightly prototype at this stage, but this is what it sounds like. You find yourself out walking in the rain. The wind is howling like a runaway train. A voice calls out, a raspy refrain. Answer my riddles or ye will go insane. Ahead on the path is a dark domain. A man stands in front dressed in rags and chains. He says, come inside and I'll ruin your brain. Welcome to Bonjo's House of Pain.
Fucking hell, that's brilliant.
That's awesome.
I love the sort of slightly surprisingly jazzy sax in there.
There's no sax in there, mate. But you do.
That's what happens in the House of Pain. You don't know what you're hearing or what you're seeing or who you even are. Was it a trick?
Maybe plagued by saxophones for the rest of your life.
Oh, no.
I don't know what you were hearing. There was a guitar, a Whaley guitar, might be that.
I know, yeah. Well, they're similar instruments, aren't they?
Very much.
They both use resonance. That was brilliant. Really good. Mm. Really, was that inspired by our chat about Oliver just now? It can't have been. But, or can it? How quickly did you knock these things together? I just had a piss. You knocked that together.
Are you saying I've got the kind of musical chops that I could maybe one day write my own version of Twang? 2! Maybe Twang 3!
Adding a third one.
Give it a third one. Come on, Ben.
So, That was really good. No, but it just felt quite musical. I felt quite Dickensian. I pictured like a dark and stormy night. I think it's because you said that, though, didn't you?
It's pretty subtle stuff, but yeah.
But it's amazing the power of words to literally conjure specific ideas that they refer to, isn't it? Yeah, good to be reminded of that. That was really good. Ben?
Yeah.
Which room in the House of... So, first of all, can you welcome us through the door of the House of Pain and then maybe put on some library footage of a creaky door sound? I was thinking might be quite good.
Oh, yeah, I could do that, yeah. Well, because obviously in the song, I'm stood outside the House of Pain,
yes,
welcoming you in.
Yeah.
So, but I guess sometimes you're not welcomed in, that sometimes you're sort of press ganged and you wake up to find...
You wake up in the House of Pain.
You just wake up in the House of Pain.
The House of Pain, yeah. Yeah. And you could have been in any of its many chambers.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be interested in...
And you're in the... This is the horrible bit. When you wake up in the House of Pain, you wake up on the toilet, you open the door and you're in another toilet. And then you open the door of that one and you're in another toilet. How do you do that, Ben?
You're really in the House of Pain's House of Pain, then.
You're in the House of Pain's House of Pain. But the toilets from very slightly different eras, aren't they?
Yeah. And none of them have got bog roll.
None of them have got bog roll! Instead of bog roll, they've got a hand mounted on the wall, which just gives you the finger.
The finger is covered in moss, though. So,
yeah,
so the most you can do something with it.
You can,
yeah.
It's a kaleidoscopic house of nightmares, isn't it?
Mm.
There's
it is.
Staircases that lead into ceilings. There's vases that just have like hot shit pouring out of them the whole time.
Quite poor wiring in general. If you get an electrician around, they go,
absolutely dreadful Wi-Fi.
The Wi-Fi is pathetic.
Awful.
It's -2 bars, isn't it? It's the worst Wi-Fi I've ever seen. So what room are we in today, Ben?
Oh, well, today we're in the parlour.
Okay. The parlour.
The oaken walls of the parlour slowly coming in just imperceptibly, but
always getting a little bit closer.
Getting a little bit closer, yeah.
Those mounted antlers beginning to tickle your sides.
That's right.
The first clue.
Yeah. Yeah, they're incredibly, and they've been sharp, but they've been given extra little metal sharp bits, haven't they, the antlers? They're sharper than average antlers.
Yeah.
You thought antlers wouldn't be sharp enough. Also,
they're not normal antlers from a deer. No. They're narwhal.
They're narwhantlers.
Narwhantlers.
That's sharper than the sharpest samurai sword. And instead of a normal ceiling light, it's a massive sort of bloodshot eye that just follows you around the room.
It's the nar eye. You just sit on the nar sofa.
Yeah.
Which is sort of just upholstered blubber, isn't it? Yeah. So it's very hard to get any sort of purchase on it.
Can't get any purchase on it at all.
Very bad for your back.
And then, of course,
your lumbar region gets absolutely, no relief from that. Go on.
Bonjo enters.
Bonjo. Yep.
Today, in the guise, in the avatar of a narwhal.
Oh, in a narwhal, yes.
And you're wearing that kimono that's just got a thousand penises woven into it, hasn't it?
But on the inside.
They're Robin penises. Robin Red penis.
Yeah.
Right, so today's House of Pain. If you've not listened to House of Pain before, it's sort of kind of a loose quiz format where we basically steal the format increasingly of other more popular shows in a way that probably is, strictly speaking, illegal.
Yeah.
So today's show will be based on this book that I had for Christmas some years ago. It is the official Only Connect quiz book.
Ooh.
With an introduction by Victoria Corin Mitchell.
Nice.
Now, what's your relationship with the TV quiz show Only Connect?
It's been running for years, hasn't it? I think I have probably seen it twice in however many years.
Doesn't bode well.
I've never seen it.
Oh, no.
Do the listeners know?
Is that a problem?
Do we need to tell them?
Yeah, so it's kind of, if you've not heard of it, or especially if you're not from Britain.
It's a high-end quiz show.
It's high-end, but also on the front of the book it says, and this kind of encapsulates it, what's it say there in the red? Can you read that?
Fiendishly difficult questions from TV's hardest quiz.
It's TV's hardest quiz.
Blimey.
But it's also lateral thinking based. So it's about making connections and what connects these things, basically, is the basic format.
What?
this could be a zero pointer. You're going to get full narwhaled. Narwhaled right through.
I think you're on your sixth
No, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. Just crack on and everything's fine.
Yeah.
I can explain the format.
Is it more complex than Danny Dyer's information bridge? Because I don't watch any of these shows. Have you ever seen Ross Kemp's Brain Punch?
Multiple choice.
What's that?
Trivia
ham
tunnel.
Multiple choice.
Ham multiple choice. Yeah, it's a question. The answer's always ham.
The other two options are also ham, but misspelled.
It's tricky, that one. Anyway, go on.
So, basically, it's a quiz. It's presented by Victoria Corin Mitchell, who I saw recently, or read recently, came out top in a survey of British males of the ultimate or the sort of platonic ideal of a wife.
Weird.
When asked, which celebrity would you like to marry the most?
Well,
she came out top.
Who's doing that survey? That's quite strange.
No, I mean, I wasn't asked.
That's quite, yeah. Okay.
Okay. So you're kind of taking the guys. We have to imagine that you're Britain's ideal husband.
Perfect wife.
Yeah. So people internationally aren't familiar. She's very, very bright. She's also a professional poker player, I believe.
Yeah.
Seasoned broadcaster. She's funny. Yeah. The full, just like yourself, Bondra, the full package.
The full package.
So here we go.
Okay. Let's do it.
Now, the first round is based on connections.
Okay.
And you'll have to do it one at a time. We'll start with Mike. Okay.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is there's four things.
Yeah.
And there's one thing that connects them all.
Okay.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll give you the first one.
Yeah.
If you can guess what the connection with the other three you've not heard are yet, you'll get 5 points. That's unlikely.
Then how many times do I get to guess? Do I get to keep on guessing?
No, no. Once you've guessed, that's it.
One guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then it moves over to Henry.
Oh, nice.
So you've got to pay attention, Henry.
Can I say, okay. I want to marry you more every second of this.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? It's absolutely,
it really is.
I was being a bit sniffy and sceptical and a bit high and mighty about the whole thing, but yeah. It's absolutely bang on.
It's absolutely bang on. Okay.
Then I'll give you, if you don't guess, I'll give you the second one.
Okay.
If you don't guess, I'll give you the third one. And then if you don't guess again, you get the fourth one. And each one that comes out, you get fewer points if you get the connection between the four. Mm-hmm. So...
Okay.
Also, on the TV show, this is timed. Oh. But I'm going to give you enough, as much time as you like.
Also, on the TV show, it's got to be better than this. I mean, I'm assuming. I've not seen it, but...
Henry, you're forgetting it's presented by Britain's Ultimate Wife.
Of course. Yeah.
So there's that whole angle on it.
Okay.
Okay. So, Mike, the first thing to come up is the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan.
Okay.
Now, let me know if you want the next one.
Yeah, well, yeah, yes, please, yeah.
The next one is Cornwall.
Should there be some sort of, like, ticking sound? Would there be, like, a ticking clock sound or something in here?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, there would be, but I'm not going to put a time on Mike.
So, I'm wondering if it's about, sort of, like, dead languages or if it's about...
Is the answer one word, by the way, always, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily, no.
Okay, I'll have the next one, please.
Okay, the next one is a pirate ship.
Oh, it's got to be its flags, black and white in the black and white only in the flags.
Correct.
Nice.
Mike gets 2 points.
Yes.
And the last one would have been the finish of a motor race.
Okay.
Can I say, I wouldn't have got that literally in 2 million years. Can you imagine if through some hideous scientific experiment, we were all kept alive for 2 million years, I wouldn't have got it by the end.
And they kept going with the connection. So it was an infinite number of black and white things.
I genuinely wouldn't have got that ever. What's Cornwall got to do with black and white flag? What's Cornwall's flag?
It's a white cross on a black background.
Okay.
It's a Pyrrhon's flag.
Blimey. Well done, Mike.
I'm in the next door neighbour county, do you know what I mean? So I've come across that quite a bit, to be fair.
Had you tailored that a bit for Mike then, hadn't you?
Yeah, I'd seen that as one.
Yeah, so the books have been cooked. This is all cheat. This doesn't count.
I've cooked.
If I lose this game, it doesn't count.
It's
all part of the House of Pain. Okay, go on.
I've cooked the books for you, Henry, a little bit.
Oh, have you?
A little bit.
No, that makes it even worse if I don't get it.
Maybe not as much as for Mike.
Okay.
Okay, so your first one is Sunset Boulevard.
A fantastic musical written by my godfather, Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber. My godfather and best friend, by the way.
Okay.
He also taught me how to drive. Little facts there you might not have known. Yeah.
So do you think you can come up with what might connect Sunset Boulevard with three other things?
I'm going to say no.
Okay, next one. American Beauty.
So that's a film.
Mm-hmm.
Sunset Boulevard. Boulevard. Do you know the musical?
Sunset Boulevard. I know that song, but I've not
seen
it.
That song is really good.
Is it a one-woman musical, Sunset Boulevard?
No, but there was...
Tell me on a Sunday, I'm thinking of.
Big pardon?
Tell me on a Sunday is what I'm thinking of.
Okay, yeah.
Just
Tell me on a Sunday. Is that a musical?
Yeah, written by Andrew Lloyd Webber, your godfather, friend, and driving instructor.
Can I say, weirdly, we've never actually discussed his musicals. So that song, Sunset Boulevard, has some superb lyrics in it.
Are you asking ChatGPT what connects them?
For the love of God. For the love of God. It's such a difficult question to ask you, though, that the carbon footprint of this bit of the show is going to be massive because of the data mining. I'll have to go on overdrive. Sunset Boulevard. So it's a sinister bit in the song, in the musical, right? And it's all about, like, the kind of dark side of LA. It's this guy trying to make it in LA. So this is, it's just really good. Sunset Boulevard, twisting boulevard, secretive and rich, a little scary. Sunset Boulevard, tempting boulevard, waiting there to swallow the unwary. Are we enjoying this, me doing this? Or?
A little bit.
A little bit.
They've been bold enough to rhyme the word boulevard with boulevard.
Yeah. I think, you know what? I was on my third driving test at the time, and Strangely Webber was really stressed. He had a lot on his mind. He didn't want me to fail. If I failed 3-4 times, it was a chance he was going to have to shut down his entire driving school.
And of course, nothing rhymes with boulevard. That's it's the Everest if you're a musical theatre writer.
The other one that's like that is orange, isn't it, they say? Nothing rhymes with orange. Which is why... What was he called again? Keith Barrett. No, what was he called again?
Keith Lozenge.
Keith Lozenge's musical Orange! Exclamation mark was his worst run ever.
Oh, Lionel Bart.
Lionel Bart. There's not a single solid rhyme in the entire show.
So, Henry, I'm going to give you a bit of not a clue, but just, I think this one's relatively easy, because what is the one thing everyone knows about Sunset Boulevard?
It's in L.A.,
No. Okay.
And there's a musical about it, thank you. And the film about it, please.
Yes.
And there's a good film.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want the next one?
Yeah. No, whoa. Okay. So, what was the first thing again?
Sunset Boulevard.
Sunset Boulevard. Twisted Boulevard.
Sunset Boulevard, ruthless boulevard, destination for the stony-hearted. Sunset Boulevard, lethal boulevard. My thesaurus is getting an absolute frickin' pounding.
Do you know the website rhymezone.com?
Yeah, it's been half my blooming life there, mate.
I'm going to ask it if anything rhymes with boulevard.
By the way, if that thing's like Google Docs, you can see who's on it. Simon Armitage is almost always on there.
Right, <Zone. laughs>
he's actually got the subscription. He gets extra rhymes.
Does he even get half rhymes?
He gets half rhymes.
Wow. Yeah.
He gets assonance.
So Rhyme Zone has come up with quite a lot of half rhymes for it. For example... Sunset Boulevard, Yeoman of the Guard.
Oh!
What the fuck is he doing here?
Wow.
So you've got Sunset Boulevard, American Beauty, The Lovely Bones.
Now piss off.
I knew that wasn't going to help.
I just don't know anything about that film. It's one of those films that I've parked in there. I don't know anything about this, and I'm probably happy with that until death. So American Beauty, all I know about that is it's got cancelled Kevin Spacey in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first one was Sunset Boulevard. Nightmare Boulevard. Full of horrors beyond your comprehension.
Sunset Boulevard punched my identity card. Thank you, Ramzone, for that one. Also, this is a good one. Sunset Boulevard, my Saint Bernard.
It's good.
Sunset Boulevard, make sure your tyres are hard if you're going to go up it in a Brompton.
Very good.
So The Lovely Bones know nothing about that film. Wait a second.
Here we go.
Sunset Boulevard was based on a musical. It is a musical. I mean... All musicals are based on them. Oh, no, it was based on a film. So Sunset Boulevard is a film.
Yeah.
We just had a musical made out of it. I think what they've got in common is that they all either have or haven't had a musical based on them.
Incorrect.
And I'll take you to the European Court of Human Rights over that, though, because I am actually right. You can't deny that that's right.
Don't they all have dead young women in it? Murdered... I'll start with murdered young women.
I'll almost take that, but what is it about those murdered people that is...
Oh, swimming pools. No, cheesecakes. I'm playing cheesecakes. I'm playing my cheesecakes card. I can only do it once per season. I know that.
Okay, he's played his cheesecake.
Mike, do you know the answer to that?
I was going to say swimming pools.
No, can I get back to me then?
Yeah.
Well, your cheesecakes, yeah.
The narrator is dead.
The narrator is dead, correct?
The narrator is dead.
Okay, Henry, I'm giving you 2 points for that, even though, I mean, you did use your cheesecakes, that's fine.
I can't believe I've used it this early in the series, though.
Mike, remember, you can use your cheesecake whenever you like.
Oh, God. Okay. That was a hell of an amount. So was there a fourth one we never heard, by the way?
There was. It was Desperate Housewives.
Now that I've got one right, can we just talk about it, go over that again from the beginning, just talk about how it went down, what our feelings were at different points during it. I suppose, in a way, it just pops into my head when you gave me the irrelevant info in the end. That's what happened. I did use a clue, but of course, because I'd said cheesecakes. If you hadn't given me a clue.
No one said narrator.
If you hadn't given me a clue, you'd have to eat 10 cheesecakes live, wouldn't you? Full size New York style.
Well. Okay, yeah. Michael.
Yeah.
Your first one is manufacturing gunpowder.
Okay. I'll go for the next one, please.
Roman mouthwash.
I'm going to say urine.
Correct.
Yes.
It's uses for urine. Mike gets 3 points.
Lovely stuff. Lovely.
Say what you like about Mike. The man knows his piss.
Nice.
Lemon drizzle. I'm playing with lemon drizzle.
You can't retrospectively lemon drizzle.
Oh, damn.
And he knows that.
No,
unless he's prospectively lemon drizzling for the next round.
Mike, you can lemon drizzle in a round where the answer's urine.
It's the only time you can,
it's the loophole.
Because what is urine but the lemon drizzle of the human? It's nature's lemon drizzle, isn't it? Anyway,
okay. So that means that Henry gets my points, and the next time I have a lemon drizzle, I have to throw it at the first passing car.
That's
exactly, yeah, yeah. But don't not eat lemon drizzle because you know that you have to do that to make sure.
I'm not allowed to avoid lemon drizzle. Yeah.
Be honest with yourself. Yeah. If you would have eaten lemon drizzle, you've got to do it, but not eat it, but throw it at the car.
You've got to go to You've got to go to a cake sale once a quarter.
Yeah. But and that is a trust system, Mike. So
I know.
You're using that on trust. No. You know what? I'm even though I've got the lemon drizzle power, I'm just gonna use it to say congrats, Mike. Well done. So much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you talk me through what just happened there? What was the question and what was the answer? I was so caught up in the emotion of the moment that I've forgotten. What happened?
So the clues were manufacturing gunpowder and Roman mouthwash.
And the answer was yellow. How come? What were the next ones?
The answer was urine, I'm afraid.
I was describing the answer. The answer was yellow. It was urine. Yeah, I was describing urine.
The ones that didn't come out were thickening wool and marking territory. And I know the wool one because I've got an old tweed jacket of my father's that no longer fits me, but I used to wear a bit. And if it rained on it, the smell-o' piss.
Really?
That would radiate from it, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It had been, something had happened to it. I think it was in the manufacturing process.
That's interesting. Mm. Well, the Romans were very helpful. I mean, the Romans, piss for everything, wasn't it? That was their answer. That was their panacea.
Okay, I'm going to find one for Henry.
Okay,
here we go. Henry, George V.
Oh, God. You know I've got a blind spot on the Georges. Yeah, okay.
Next one?
Yep. Yes, please, yep.
Stalingrad.
Go on.
Next one. Victor Hugo.
Okay. Okay. Is it something to do with Napoleon? Stalingrad. Okay, no idea. Carry on.
And the final one is Concord.
Something to do with Anglo-Frenchness. Concord. I'm just going to write these down. just going to write these down. I haven't got a pen to hand, so I'm just going to write them down in the Google search box. Do you mind? It's just a place to note, it's just a place to note something down. It's as good as any. So Victor Hugo.
I will have to ask you for an answer soon.
He wrote Les Miserables, didn't he?
George V. Stalingrad. Victor Hugo.
Stalingrad. So what was the first one? George V. Mike, do you know this?
Oh, yeah, this is it. I got this at the first one, yeah.
So Concorde was Britain and France working together to make a plane to fly to America really fast. Victor Hugo was a novelist who wrote Les Miserables, I think.
Mm, I think so.
Stalingrad was Nazis v. Russia.
Yeah.
Not Nazis v. Stalin. I'm just thinking about whether I should play my Garibaldi or not.
You're going to dunk it?
I might dunk my Garibaldi.
Okay, so you've dunked the Garibaldi.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which means that Mike gets a chance to answer, but you get the points if he gets it right.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Go on. I was going to ask for a clue, but I've got absolutely no idea.
I'm quite baffled. Is it to do with like renaming?
No.
Is there a clue then? I tell you what, no points involved now, just a bit of fun.
Okay, clue. The City of Lights, Paris.
They all started in Paris. They all
The Battle of Stalingrad.
It just got really out of hand.
But at the beginning.
What is Paris the thing? Paris is a clue, is it?
Paris is a clue. I think I'm going to give you the answer. They are all the names of Paris metro stations.
Oh, piss off, you absolute turd. If I didn't want to marry you so much, I'd be absolutely furious. Oh, that's a good one. Stalingrad, Victor Hugo.
Okay, so and you now have to dry off Josh your Sank. You have to dry off your Garibaldi now.
I have to dry off my Garibaldi.
Mm.
It's really hard to do that. It's sodden.
We move on to the second round. Mike, this is similar, but instead of you getting the thing that connects them, you have to come up with what the fourth one is.
Oh, okay.
So that involves kind of working out the connection and then trying to work out what the fourth one will be.
Okay.
St. Petersburg.
Okie dokie.
So if you want the next one.
Yes, please.
Petrograd.
Yes, I'll have the next one, please.
Leningrad. 2 points, what's the last one?
I think it's St. Petersburg again.
Correct!
Oh.
It is the successive names for St. Petersburg. St. Petersburg between 1703 and 1914, Petrograd from 1914 to 1924, Leningrad 1924 to 1991, and then St. Petersburg again since 1991. And on the TV show, Only Connects, that was one that was got correct by a team made up of Michael Bywater, Andrew Motion, and Stuart McConey.
Lovely stuff.
So that means Mike has the combined IQ of all of those people.
Well, they might have got it earlier.
They
got it on the second one.
Petrograd.
Well done, Mike. Very good.
Okay, Henry.
By the way, quickly, can I just write? I've just found my favourite lyric from Sunset Boulevard.
Very good.
Sunset Boulevard, cruise the boulevard, win yourself a Hollywood palazzo. Oh, yeah. Sunset Boulevard, mythic boulevard, Valentino danced on that terrazzo.
Oh.
Wow.
Quite good, isn't it?
Who wrote the lyrics for it?
I assume it was Adam Woodyatt.
or Stuart McConey.
Or Stuart McConey.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does Lloyd ever just do the tunes, does he?
Yeah, he never... He's not let near a lyric.
He's never lowered himself.
Right, yeah.
He's normally got Tim Rice involved or...
Yeah.
Someone like that. Right.
Okay.
Henry?
Yeah.
Market? Yeah.
Yeah.
So the first one's market. The second one is home.
Okay, yeah. Go on.
Third one is roast beef.
That's the third one?
Yeah.
And I've just got to guess the fourth now, have I?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Now, intelligence takes many different forms, doesn't it? I think it's important that we discuss this now. There's visual intelligence. There's creative intelligence. I've got more the creative type. There's just answering stupid questions type intelligence. No, but there's different. My brain, I just cannot. I don't even know how to think about this.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you want to?
No, but I'm still going to carry on trying, though.
Yeah.
Hang on, let's think. Because all I've got in mind now is it the Paris metro stations thing again? market home.
Our listenership are going to be going bananas at this one.
What, is it really obvious?
I think it's quite easy.
Oh, I didn't even know how to think about it, though. I didn't know how to solve the problem, because I didn't know what the problem is.
What bells are ringing in your head?
So market...
When you say those words.
Home, roast beef... All I've got is this little piggy went to market. Is that a thing? This little piggy went home. This little piggy had some roast beef. And this other little piggy decided to invest in an ISA. I can't remember. Is that what it is? Is it to
you're,
do with
yeah,
that?
You're very close. So you just need to work out what the last one is.
I just can't remember what the roast pig, what the little roast pig, what the little piggy did. This little piggy went to market.
Think about the rhyme scheme.
This little piggy went to market. This little piggy went to home. This little piggy had some roast beef. This little piggy went to Sunset Boulevard, Dangerous Boulevard. Trying to make it big in Hollywood. Didn't get cast in Babe. Ended up addicted to heroin. This little piggy went. You do it with fingers, don't you? This little piggy went, or toes. This little piggy went to market. This little piggy went home. This little piggy had some roast beef. And this little piggy visited the Millennium Dome. Does it rhyme with ohm?
It's a sort of half rhyme.
This little piggy went to market.
I think I'm going to pass
this one. This little piggy went to market. This little piggy went home. This little piggy had some roast beef, which is weird. The idea of a pig eating beef. This little piggy. But also, you've got five toes, not four.
Well, the big toe isn't a pig. That's a cow.
This little piggy went to market. Yeah, this
the cow is slaughtered to facilitate the beef. That's the beginning of the nursery rhyme.
This little piggy had some roast beef. And this little piggy.
Think about the kind of strangely downbeat nature of old-fashioned rhymes like this for children.
Oh, yeah. This little piggy went to market. This little piggy went home. This little piggy had some roast beef. And this little piggy was detrotted without anaesthetic. I can't remember. I'm sorry. I just don't know.
None.
Oh, God.
This little piggy had none.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
Came close, though.
I hold my hands up.
Okay, you've got one each left. Mike. Okay. The Norman Conquest begins.
I'm going to have to get the next one. Otherwise, how do you get a sequence from one thing?
It's mad. It's kind of hard. Next one is Stella Artois Brewery founded.
So... It's 66, isn't it? Because that's 1066, and then I think they have 1666 on their cans. Okay, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to get the third one.
I think play my strudel?
Mike, do you accept the strudel?
Yeah, I don't have any counter custard, I'm afraid, so I'll happily accept it.
Also, bear in mind, Mike, if you accept the strudel, you can give up your lemon drizzle.
Yes. That's going to be a huge boon.
I think I'm going to deny. I'm going to counter cinnamon, and I'm going to carry on. I'm going to get the third one.
Okay. The Great Fire of London.
England wins the World Cup.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh.
1966.
Well done. Okay.
So Norman Conquest, 1066. Stella Artois was founded in 1366.
Was it? Holy God.
Great Five of London, 1666. England win the World Cup in 1966.
Is that what you were going to... Was that going to be your strudel there, Henry?
That was going to be my strudel, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Last one.
Yeah.
Henry. First one is a pack of cards.
Okay.
Do you want the next one?
Oh. Yes.
Female monarchs of Britain...
Okay, interesting. There's something to do with cards and queens. So that's pack of cards, I'm thinking. Okay, carry on. Need another one. Yep.
A chess game.
A chess game. So obviously cards have monarchs and stuff in them. Chess games have monarchs in them, kings and queens. But see, female monarchs of Britain is the kind of weird one in a way, because a pack of cards is a game, a chess game is a game. Female monarchs of Britain. Is it?
Ooh.
Is it something to do with the number of monarchs? Because a pack of cards will have four queens in it.
Mm-hmm.
Female monarchs of Britain is, well, there's them. A chess game's got two queens in it.
Mm.
So 4-3-2-1. What has one queen in it? Am I on the right lines?
I've got my chocolate roulade ready to go here, by the way.
Okay. So a pack of cards has four queens in it. Female monarchs of Britain. Well, how many have there been? There's been two Elizabeths and a Victoria. A chess game has two queens in it. So we're going down. There's four queens in the first, three queens and two queens. What has one queen in it?
There's loads of potential answers. You've kind of got it right.
The band Queen is is Queen.
Yeah. I'll give it to you. Yeah.
Queen.
Yeah.
The band
Queen,
is it?
The band Queen's fine. There's only one queen.
Yeah.
Beehive.
Beehive is the answer that they've got down here.
Oh, well done. Beehive's better. Beehive's the answer.
So it is right. It's 4-3-2-1.
Well done,
Mike.
Oh, that's very good.
I was thinking, though, there's been more than three female monarchs of Britain. There's been Queen Anne.
There's Queen Anne, yeah.
Susan of
Mary,
Orange.
Queen of Scots.
Queen Mary.
Yeah.
But it's because it's female monarchs of Britain.
Ah.
And Britain did not exist until 1707.
Ah, nice, nice, nice.
According to this. So, well done, Henry, you get...
Well, I didn't get that right.
You did. You absolutely did. Yeah.
You're not allowed to get it right if it's not the answer that's written down.
I think that's how they do it, actually.
Yeah, you are.
From memory, I think she has discretion, and if you've clearly understood the sequence and you get
it... That's why it's not just an affair, it's marriage that you want to do. It's full marriage. It's a commitment till death. Yeah. Yeah.
Because all the highs and lows.
And compromise.
Yeah.
So, congratulations to you both. I think Mike won that. I'm unclear about the points because there was a certain number of cake arbitrage that was
all
happening.
All I know is it was blimmin' close. I don't think we need to get into the specifics.
There was Victoria Sponge was flying left, right and centre throughout, I would say.
It was close.
Yeah.
It was close as heck. And I tell you what.
The meringues were peaked and the peaks were almost kissing at points.
But it's luck of the draw with these things. It doesn't count or mean that one person's more intelligent than the other. It doesn't actually mean that. And actually, if anything, it's the other way around a lot of the time with these things. Because if you got it right, it was an easier question. Would you have got the other one wrong or wronger?
If you weren't a fucking robot or something. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Anyway, yeah, I'm officially saying that this time...
No, Mike definitely won that.
You both escape Bondra House of Pain. You run out into the...
But me with all my limbs.
What's that?
With all my limbs.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And me with all your limbs. That's how it works. But I've got exact genetic replicas of all your limbs, which would be fine in themselves, but they just don't suit my torso.
You've got to get through customs with those.
Uh-oh.
Best of luck. There's always a twist, isn't there?
There's always a twist.
With Bondra's House of Pain.
Mm. Thanks, Bondra.
Well done, chaps. That was brilliant. That was really enjoyable. I loved that.
Enjoyed that too, yeah.
Well, thank you to the good people at Only Connect. I did steal that from a book. So if you want more of that, you can buy it. It's called Only Connect, the official quiz book, with a lovely introduction by Victoria Corin Mitchell.
Oh, yeah. Which is worth the price alone, I'd assume.
Sure it is.
I'd imagine so, yeah. Lovely. Well, thanks for playing. And we'll see you next time in Bonjo's House of Fame.
No!
Oh.